September 11, 2001, 8:45 a.m., a moment that divided history into before and after. In Alan Gratz's powerful narrative, we experience this pivotal day through two young lives, 9-year-old Brandon Chavez in New York City and 11-year-old Rashmina in rural Afghanistan. Brandon shouldn't be at the World Trade Center that morning. He should be in his 7th grade classroom. But a 3-day suspension for defending a friend against a bully has turned into an impromptu father-son workday at Windows on the World restaurant, where his dad works as a sous chef. As Brandon fidgets with his visitor's badge dated September 11, 2001, he has no idea his world is about to shatter. 7,000 miles away, Rashmina gathers firewood outside her village, whispering English numbers under her breath. Small acts of rebellion in a place where girls' education remains controversial. The distant sound of American helicopters makes her freeze. 2 years ago, her beloved sister Hila was killed by American bombs, a loss that transformed her once peaceful family. These two children, separated by language, culture, and continents, stand at the precipice of events that will reshape their worlds and connect them in ways they could never imagine. When American Airlines Flight 11 crashes into the North Tower, Brandon's world violently shakes. As the elevator tilts and smoke thickens, passengers cut through drywall with a butter knife. Being smallest, Brandon squeezes through first while others remain trapped. Despite the danger, he makes a crucial decision, climbing upward toward Windows on the World to find his father rather than descending with the crowd. "We're a team," his father had said that morning, words now driving Brandon to attempt the impossible. In Afghanistan, Rashmina discovers a wounded, blinded American soldier begging for help. She faces a choice between two Pashtunwali traditions, seeking revenge, badal, for her sister's death by American bombs, or offering refuge, Nanawatai. Despite her family's suffering, Rashmina chooses compassion, helping the soldier, Taz, to her family's home. These parallel crises force both children to make life-or-death decisions that reveal their character in unprecedented ways. Brandon reaches the 89th floor only to find the stairwell destroyed, with open sky visible through the damaged building. Unable to reach his father, he briefly finds hope when calling Windows on the World. While talking to his dad, Brandon spots another airplane, a second jet that crashes directly into the South Tower. The horrifying truth dawns on them both. This wasn't an accident. We're under attack. Meanwhile, Rashmina's decision to help Taz creates dangerous consequences. Her brother Pasoon discovers the wounded enemy soldier and wants to surrender him to the Taliban for revenge. Despite their father's insistence on honoring Pashtunwali and protecting Taz, Pasoon storms out, declaring he no longer lives under his father's roof. Rashmina realizes her brother has gone to betray Taz, endangering their entire family. Both children face impossible choices in desperate situations. Brandon must abandon hope of reaching his father to survive, while Rashmina must choose between her twin brother and her family's moral code. Brandon witnesses the unimaginable. First, the South Tower collapses at 9:59 a.m. Then, as he and Richard escape onto Vesey Street, they watch the North Tower's antenna tilt and vanish into smoke. The entire structure, with Brandon's father still inside, crumbles before them. A massive dust cloud rushes toward them like a monster. "Run, Brandon!" Richard shouts as the blast wave overtakes them. Half a world away, Rashmina watches in horror as an American missile triggers a landslide that destroys her village. Everyone flees across the river, then turns to see their home swallowed by dust. Through a brief gap, she glimpses the empty hillside where her village once stood. An American soldier remarks, "That's for 9/11," while clapping Taz's shoulder. These parallel destructions create a powerful connection between the stories. Both children witness their worlds collapse, both literally and figuratively. The dust clouds enveloping New York and the Afghan village become a visual metaphor for shared trauma, innocent lives devastated by forces beyond their control. As dust settles over Manhattan, Brandon discovers Richard lying motionless in the street. When Richard's fingers twitch, Brandon takes his hand and weeps. Richard had been reaching out just to know someone was still with him. This moment of connection amid chaos becomes Brandon's lifeline. In Afghanistan, Rashmina and her father dig through their destroyed village's rubble as sunset approaches. Taz returns with blankets, food, and a portable stove to help. When he offers American machinery to rebuild, Rashmina bitterly notes how his rifle keeps getting in his way, symbolizing how America tries to help with one hand while holding a gun in the other. Despite their differences and shared tragedy, both Brandon and Rashmina find human connections that offer hope amid devastation. Brandon finds a surrogate family in Richard and his loved ones, while Rashmina discovers resilience in her family's determination to rebuild. These connections don't erase their losses, but provide a foundation for moving forward in their fundamentally changed world. The events of September 11, 2001 continue to shape both American and Afghan life decades later. Through Brandon's story, we witness the aftermath, gray dust coating lower Manhattan, missing person posters transforming walls into memorials, and the national mourning that united Americans in grief. Through Rashmina's perspective, we see how 9/11 became the catalyst for military actions devastating innocent Afghan civilians. Her observation about American helicopters named Apaches carries weight. She suggests if Americans name weapons after indigenous peoples they've defeated, they should call their next ones Afghans, reflecting her homeland's destruction. The artifacts Rashmina discovers in a hidden cave, Greek shields, British helmets, Mongol bows, Soviet weapons, represent previous invaders who failed to conquer Afghanistan. The Pashto inscription, "We will never be content with a master," speaks to Afghan resilience through centuries of conflict. These interwoven narratives show how a single day's events rippled through time, transforming individual lives and entire nations, creating legacies spanning generations and transcending boundaries. Hope emerges not from easy answers, but from small moments of human connection and resilience. For Brandon, hope appears in Richard's promise to care for him, a stranger becoming family amid loss. It manifests in the community of survivors forming a human chain to navigate the destroyed mall, literally holding on to each other to find safety. For Rashmina, hope comes through her grandmother's unifying songs after their village's destruction, her strengthening encounter with a snow leopard, and her family's determination to rebuild rather than flee, to plant seeds that might grow if given peace. Brandon realizes that survival isn't about being against the world, it's about people working together for each other, articulating both narratives' central message. When Rashmina understands that moving forward means making mistakes and facing consequences, she acknowledges that life continues even after devastating loss. In broken places, a collapsed tower, a destroyed village, new connections emerge. Our capacity for compassion and resilience remains our greatest strength, representing the most powerful response to tragedy.